Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com. Same conversations, CliffCentral.com. What's up, Kamu?
What's up, man? How you doing,
AKA?
Man? What's up, man?
I'm chilling.
Yeah?
KF in the building, as usual.
Of course.
You already know.
I didn't see you pull this one up. This one was like a fantastic surprise.
You know I've been waiting for this brother to come on, right?
I want everyone to know that today's interview is very special. It's what we've been waiting for a very long time.
Very controversial. Very controversial individual, too.
Is he controversial? Are you controversial?
Highly controversial.
Is this guy controversial?
Highly controversial.
I think he's an entertainer.
I think this is the first podcast I've actually done notes for.
I don't want
to forget nothing. Yeah, I got my notes.
I don't need notes. I watch the man very well. So we're going to go in and we're going to do our thing. We got AC Lumumba in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, AC Lumumba. Actually, it's William Tumanji.
Right.
Okay, what is it going to be? We're going to do that name?
I think, you know what? Yeah. Because there's been too much nonsense on radio, TV, in the papers, in the media. We're focusing on the wrong things. If a brother wants to change his name, let a brother change his name. But AC, you got to change it once. You know, you can't change it 10 times, though.
Yeah. You got to keep us in the loop. Like, you know, like, guys, maybe on Thursday, I'm thinking of becoming Wilfred. And then we got you, man. We all right with that. But he's in the building. William Mutumbanje is in the building, a.k.a. AC Lumumba.
Best known amongst the Zimbabweans is AC Lumumba.
100%, yeah.
Just an introduction. AC Lumumba is former ZANU-PF parliamentary nominee.
Yep.
He held a lot of other portfolios within the ZANU-PF structures.
Mm-hmm.
And recently the founder and head of a very new, I'm thinking, vibrant and young political party called Viva. Welcome, AC. What's good, brother?
Hey, guys. Look, I appreciate you for having me. This is the first interview I've had in South Africa, which has got Zimbabweans in it.
Oh, let's go.
Especially Zimbabweans who are running it.
Yeah.
which goes to prove a point I've been pushing that Zimbabweans, we lead everywhere we go.
You already know.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
That is very true.
We're even confident enough to call ourselves the immigrants.
No, we are the immigrants.
And let's keep it that way. You boys have to keep on pushing, because what you guys are doing is exactly what Zimbabweans have to be doing everywhere in the world. Wherever we go and we occupy space, we must lead. It's that simple. When you see a Zimbabwean, when you've seen a leader, get used to the program. This is what we're now trying to teach them in the country, that when they see young people, they should understand we're ready to lead. They should get with the program. Now, while you're while you're in this country, they will call you names. They will change your names too. While you're in this country, they'll tell you don't deserve this platform.
Yeah.
They'll say you're not good enough. But what you boys have got to do is you've got to keep it moving.
Yeah.
This is what I do. I keep it moving. And for the record, it's not an alias. My name is Lumumba William Gerald Mutumanje. But if you want to call me by an alias, colloquially, I like to go by Lumumba.
All right, there. Okay.
I think he's trying to take our job, man.
Do you want a water break? We can give you like 2 minutes, man.
Don't play with me. Don't play with me, man.
Okay.
I'm around brothers. I feel comfortable
I'm around brothers, man.
Yeah, you should be. Okay. Like we said, come when I discuss this, and we're like, we don't want to, you know, focus on all that nonsense. This is Zim Conversations, to give you a brief background, is a show about anything and everything Zimbabwean. So we have artists here, we have musicians, we have politicians. We've had a lot of very old politicians and lawyers.
Which is cool.
It's very refreshing to have. Yeah, it was fun. Very intellectual and very enlightening.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have young blood on the show and a young politician, man.
Mm-hmm.
AC, how old are you?
I'm 27.
Wow.
28 in a month.
That is awesome, man.
That's crazy, man.
That is awesome.
Thank you.
Kudos. But just to, you know, touch briefly on some of the stuff that's been happening.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'm worried about, because you were in court a couple of days ago over, you know, the language that you used towards our president.
Yeah.
Legitimate or unlegitimate. You said that the ruling was postponed.
No, the judgment has been made.
Okay.
They have made, what we did is we made an application for referral.
Okay.
And the way the process works is if there's a law in the country, it's section 32B in the criminal code, which is the criminal law, which is called undermining the authority of the president.
Mm-hmm.
So we put in an application that this case, before you even try me, let's go to the Constitutional Court and find out if this law is even legal. Because what this law essentially does is it infringes into constitutional rights from section 50, 54, 56, 58, 60, and 61.
Mm-hmm.
So there shouldn't be a law called undermining the authority of the president.
Because the problem that we had after the GNU and the GPA was that we had a new constitution.
That's right.
But it hasn't filtered into the other laws.
They haven't, aligned. Yes, no. They haven't aligned the laws to the new constitution.
So no. Yours is actually going further from your charges into a constitutional case.
Absolutely, and that's where we're taking it. We're taking it to the constitutional court, because if you're the president of the country, you're an employee of the country.
Yeah.
I ought to question you when I want to question you, how I want to question you. You work for me. I gave you that vote. How do you say you work for me and I can't question you? How do you say you work for me and I undermine your authority? Are you out of your mind, Robert Mugabe? Get with the program. You're my employee.
It's kind of heated up, man.
He is, man.
I've seen your videos. I just had to. I've seen your videos.
Which one?
Dog, I've been through the entire page. I've been like, yo, I was like, okay.
No, he's asking which one, because he's talking about that other one.
I saw that one too. Not a great show, but hey, you know what? What you do in your private time is up to you, my brother. You do thing. But how does it feel at this particular stage to be in a position whereby you are trying, or let me not say trying, or you are actually actively trying to move into a space whereby you influence a lot of young people, and you could potentially be the future leaders of Zimbabwe, and or can actually affect what can happen in the future politically?
In this generation, my brothers,
mm-hmm.
when you talk of politicians who were born post-independence, politicians who are under 36, there is me. And that's it, period.
Yeah.
I am the political game changer in our generation. There's nobody else. You name me three other politicians who are under 36 years old who can rock like I rock it. So the simple mathematics goes, I am the political maverick in our generation because I actually have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, society tells me I should be humble about that and I should say I'm not the best. But I'm the best that has ever done this.
Yeah.
You know why I say that? You name me any other 27-year-old anywhere in the world who has done what I did at 27. Where was Barack at 27?
Mm-hmm.
He was a student. Where was Robert at 27? He was a school teacher. Where was Mandela at 27? He mm-hmm. wasn't even in active politics yet.
No.
So at 27, where I am, I do think I am the maverick at what I do. The same way I think you guys should be proud of what you do and where you are.
You know, AC, because we met a couple of times back when I just finished my first degree back in home in Zim. Yeah. And I mean, I agree with you on that one point.
Yeah.
You know what? I study political science, and I've always told people, you know what? The minute you become a politician, effectively, whether your language says it or not, effectively, what you are telling the people is that I'm better than the rest of you.
Yeah.
So I should lead you. When you vote for someone else to lead you, what you're saying, you know, you're giving yourself props. So I agree. You cannot be humble about saying that you have the qualifications to lead a country.
And most importantly, you know, in this game, you know, people like to act like it's all about humility. You don't humbly beat Robert Mugabe at an election.
No,
you don't say, you know, I kindly or prayerfully hope I'm going to beat ZANU-PF at an election. No, you have to look in the mirror and say, I am the best at this. And I am ready to go toe-to-toe with the gorilla. This is the mentality you have got to
with
carry.
Godzilla.
So when it comes to our generation and one day looking forward to leading, I am already leading. I am here because you recognize that I'm already leading.
Yeah.
So I am ready to lead. I'm ready to play my part, but the important message is it's not just about me. If anything, I am the least important part of the puzzle. The job of leadership in my perspective is the ability to accept other people's ideas. The ultimate job of a leader is how do you get to the top and be able to still accept everybody else's ideas. That's my job.
Yeah, because people get it twisted when we say humility.
Absolutely.
You know, there's humility, then there's looking down upon yourself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
When he says, I'm hoping when you say you're not humble, you're not saying that you look down upon other people.
Yeah.
You're just telling people your qualifications and your abilities to then lead
them. I'm just saying I paid my school fees. I'm saying I'm on the ground.
Then it's tricky, AC, because then there's a borderline there between cocky and...
Because a lot of people feel like you're a showman.
A lot of people feel what they feel. I feel a lot of things about a lot of people too. But let me tell you something.
I'd love to hear that. This is my part of the show.
Let me tell you something about me. You know, when we were growing up, I went to Prince Edward High School, and I was the poorest kid in my class. And I was in class with kids who were coming from homes where there was a father and a mother who were telling them, you're going to be the best that has ever been there.
Yeah.
And I was coming from Epworth.
Yeah.
Do you know what that's like? To be in a class where everybody's being told, you are good at this, and I'm not being told that you're good at this. So what you have to do as a coping mechanism is you learn how to survive. And to survive, you go and stand in the mirror, and you say, you know what? No, I am as good as they are. I'm not only as good as they are, I am better than they are.
Yeah.
So that's the mentality that got me ahead. You don't get ahead by being humble. I am not humble to myself. I am hard on myself. Lumumba must continue to push the barrier until he beats it. I'm not contesting against anybody. So for me to say I am looking down on anybody means we are in the same league. I don't have anybody in my league. I am looking at me and the role I'm supposed to play in order to ensure that my kids and the rest of the kids in Zimbabwe have got a future to look forward to, because right now there ain't none.
And so you feel that Viva is the answer for us?
Absolutely. I feel Viva is the only political party in the country that is youth sensitive. You tell me all the political parties you know and how you can even join them. You tell me what their message even is for young people. I'm saying there's a company called Zimbabwe. This company has got 70% of it, which is being people under the age of 35. Mm-hmm. And yet none of these people sit in the boardroom. Mm-hmm. So how do you have 70% of a company and you don't have equity in the company? Mm-hmm. I am saying we now need to reverse the title. There is absolutely no reason why you guys should be running this program in South Africa, and I can give you the national broadcaster to run it and turn it around. You're more capable.
Yeah, because we will turn around
quickly.
And you understand what needs to get done. So why are you allowing somebody else to do it for you, as if you can do it yourself?
I want to take it back a bit, AC, because I was going to get into, you know, really looking at Viva, and I think the principle behind Viva, the foundation is awesome. But you were talking about being one of, you know, the youngest politicians who's done what you've done in the country. And I agree. But don't you think that a lot of that had to do with the influence that came from ZANU-PF when you were in ZANU-PF?
Except everybody else is trying to get to ZANU-PF. They don't even know how to get in.
How did you get in there?
Because I'm a G. Okay. It's that simple. I am a G. Okay.
There were certain alliances and affiliations that you had. That
are we just talking about peer membership or just being in a position whereby you have some sort
position
of authority?
Because there are a lot of youths in who are
members. It's pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
You just go down, fuck, and hook it up.
Yeah.
Let me. People don't understand how hard it is to join ZANU-PF. You know, if you ask somebody how do you join ZANU-PF, people probably can answer you how to join ZANU-PF. For me, just to enter ZANU-PF, I had to go and join in a district, what we call political district, that's not even mine, through the now minister, Miriam Chikukwa, who's now the provincial minister of Harare, because she simply, I went and I pleaded with her that I really want to get involved in politics, but I don't know how to get in. And after really trying for almost a year to join, I finally was able to find a district to join in. And when you join at the bottom. You go right to the bottom of the company. You're the guy who cleans the windows and you clean the walls. Mm-hmm. And only after joining, I started working hard, because politics is ultimately about elections.
What year was this?
This is in 2012.
Okay.
So politics is ultimately about elections. So with every election, I was ready to stand. When everybody else wasn't willing to contest, I went and I contested, and I worked hard for the vote. I've never occupied a position in ZANU-PF, which was an elected position. Mm-hmm. So every position I've occupied since then was elected, to the extent where when I then moved districts to the district where I stay in and where I contested in the parliamentary elections, I went back to the bottom. And I rose all the way back up. My results are the reason people kept electing me until I rose to the top of the chain, and I was number 6 or 7 in the structures in Harare province, not in the youth league. I've never joined the youth league. I've always seen myself to be above that. I went and I joined straight in the main wing, which means my next position up was Central Committee and Politburo.
Yeah.
I was ready to go for the jugular.
Yeah.
So I've worked really hard to get to where I had got to. Did I have alliances? Politics is all about alliances. You are a master at politics based on how many bridges you can build, not based on how many bridges you can burn.
Yeah.
So I was very good at building bridges. So you can judge me for being good. Come on now.
I don't think anyone can even judge you for being good. Yeah. I just think, you know, with the way the situation is, I don't think anyone in this room needs to tell anybody else how Zimbabwe is economically, socially. Just generally how a normal Zimbabwean wakes up in the morning and goes to sleep at night is difficult, you know, which is all good. But now the thing about it is that when we focus on you as AC Lumumba, there's many things that are attached to the brand because it's a brand now.
That's right.
Right? And don't you think a lot of the things that come out and are adverse towards your career, do you think then will that help you moving forward to get the vote from people like us who are not around you all the time to know exactly what type of man that you are?
Well, I want to add to that question, because indeed, I mean, as a student of political science, I understand, yes, it's all about alliances, but it's also about the type of alliances that you make.
There you go.
Because it's very hard for you to have a mentor like Xavier Kasukwere, the Joaos, and so forth and so on, and then pretend like you didn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. A lot of money was stolen. We know that... What's it called? Minister of Indigenization. Mm-hmm. A lot of money was thrown there in empowerment. I don't see anyone who's really empowered. Because what we now want, AC, like you said, you're amongst brothers. And as brothers and brothers who, you know, one day will hopefully either vote for you or who you end up hiring.
Or you will contest against.
Contest against. Yeah. You and me.
You guys, let me get it to
you. You got to convince us that your principles... from back then with those individuals are not aligned at this point in time with those very same individuals.
Look, you guys are bringing up something very fundamental, I think something very principal about politics.
Yeah.
You don't get fired from ZANU-PF for being corrupt.
Yeah.
Okay? Because that's kind of the name of the game there.
Yeah.
You get fired when you stop being corrupt. So have I been corrupt? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's like a drug, guys.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't know that you are now a drug addict until you're a drug addict.
Yeah.
You know, it's like drinking alcohol. You don't use, you're like, oh, everyone's like, you're drunk. You're like, no, I'm tipsy.
Andribo.
You know, and then you get drunk, you're lying on the floor. You're like, I know now I'm tipsy.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'm a one.
So, when I got into the game, I was exposed to a world I didn't know existed before I got in. It's a dirty game called politics.
Of course.
And you've got to appreciate this. And I've made my mistakes.
And the only way to clean it up is to get in whilst it's dirty. Be a bit dirty. You know, get yourself dirty, then start cleaning it up.
Exactly. And you have to get out. Mm-hmm. Because here's how I look at it. It's like being in a relationship which is abusive.
Yeah, toxic.
You know, politics is like a man who has gone after a woman and you, the follower, being the woman. When you are met by this man, he gives you a certain promise. And the promise is, I'm going to love you. We're going to build a country together. We'll employ, indigenize, and empower. I subscribed to the promise. But once I got in, I realized this relationship is abusive.
Yeah.
This man has no intention of doing what he said he was going to do. Mm. The question now becomes, do you stay?
Or do you go?
And you've got society telling you, no, you can't live your way.
Stay there.
Why did you get married in the first place?
Yeah. Get a counselor.
And I'm saying, guys, I really want to get out. They're saying, no.
Or pastor.
There you go. So they start saying, okay, why don't you stay a little bit longer? You know, stay. Just things are going to stabilize and they'll be okay. Mm-hmm. So one day I got to a point where I realized, kwese kufa. Mm-hmm. If I stay inside the relationship, I'm going to die. If I get out, I'm still going to die because I know my husband. Mm-hmm. He's going to come after me and he's going to brutalize me.
Yeah.
He's going to take everything he ever gave me. Mm-hmm. He's going to tell everybody I'm a bad person. But so I ran for my life. That's how I got out of the party. Now the trouble is, you get out of the party, and the moment you get back home to your family is like, ah, why do you made it in the first place? Go back. And you're like, Jesus Christ. So now I must go back to the abuse, and you don't trust me because I left my
abusive lover. I give you props for staying in the country after all this animosity is going on.
I don't run.
You know what I mean, I give you props for that. Ooh, you know, like,
has someone run away recently? Did anyone go anywhere?
Well, okay.
And any runners?
Pastor E.
Oh, that guy.
Now.
Oh, I know that guy. Yeah.
Look, Pastor E, in his defense.
Yeah.
Is not a politician.
Absolutely.
No way.
You know what I mean? He's not a politician.
Pastor E doesn't know that he's a politician. This is the problem. The moment he made that first video, he became a politician.
I can actually subscribe with that.
Now, Pastor E is on the run. Now, is that a cowardly move? No, it's not a cowardly move. What do you want the man to do? They promised to rape his wife. Okay? If they promise to rape your wife, you would be on the run. Good thing for me, I don't have a wife. So the only person that can rape is me. And like I said, before you do that to me, I'm a two-time black belt in Taekwondo. Good luck.
I've seen a 754-pound man get raped. And he's got 17 different stripes of Taekwondo anything.
My brother,
If I decide to rape you, my man, you ain't going nowhere.
My brother, I am from Epworth. I grew up with Chidumu and Masende.
Yeah.
Believe me, I know some things about stopping yourself from getting raped.
Well, okay, you know, if you say that, then I can probably figure it out. Because those guys, man. Those are legends. Those are criminal legends.
No, honestly speaking, you know, I give you props for staying in the country, you know, fighting the battle. Not in comparison to anyone specifically,
a politician. And I love Pastor E for the record.
When you decide to take up that sort of responsibility, you have to see it through.
That's right.
If that's what you know, you've said to yourself, okay, these are my sights. The going gets tough. The tough get.
That's
you
right.
know the rest.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's because the stakes are high, guys. The stakes are really high. You have to understand that if we all died today, our kids would say we were failures. They would say, so you guys saw this storm coming and all you did was tweet and hashtag and Facebook. What a fickle generation we belong to. Sometimes I hate that I'm surrounded by cowards.
Yeah.
People who would rather talk to me than talk to the problem. I'm like, why are you talking to me if you got a problem? Go on the street then. Let me see your manly self get out there and talk to Robert Mugabe
about it. But realistically, you know that's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I say that to say, ultimately, what's at stake is much greater than my own security.
Yeah.
I'm happier to die for something I stand and I believe in than to live a life of a coward. I can't do that.
And that's one thing we need to learn from ZANU-PF themselves. Because those brothers died during the war. They went out with them guns and everything. And our generation is very unfortunate.
This is my biggest worry.
I remember, you know, leaving. We had just done a podcast, and I was going back to Zim a couple of weeks back, and I was like, "Oh my God, are you sure you're gonna go?" I'm like, "What's the worst that could happen?" Because you know we've been talking a lot about this on radio, and I'm not fearful to go back to my country. No. I just need to make a bit of cheese down here. But I will continue talking and give my 2 cents and you know contribute to the welfare of you know to the movement that's
and you're
you know,
doing the right thing. You know, I keep saying to everyone, not everyone is a frontline soldier.
No,
what Pastor E is now doing in Dallas, Texas, in wherever
he's
else
contributing.
That's his part. Let him activate that network. What you guys are doing here, that's your part. Last thing you need to do is not know the frontline. But put yourself in the front line. You're going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. Let people who know the front line go to the front line. But Zimbabweans, oh my God, aren't we skilled? In whatever you do, contribute. If you're a writer, write about it. Mm-hmm. If you're a singer, sing about it. If you got money, pay for the revolution. But everybody just commit yourself to doing something for the revolution. And it's not about Lumumba. It's about us. We have to be here to pay this $25 billion debt that government is putting us into in 25 years from now. It's our kids that have to pay with their school fees, their healthcare service, their roads, not the people who are getting us into this trouble. So we are stronger way together than we are when we are apart. It's time we turn to each other rather than running against each other.
I mean, look,
for me, I look at it in a very similar vein. And I always say to Kes all the time, I'm like, look, you know what? The problem in Zimbabwe, number one, you're right, is cowardice. We have too many cowards in Zimbabwe.
Mm.
As an entire population, whether you're in the diaspora or you're actually on the ground in Zimbabwe, cowardice reigns in that nation. And what happens is when you have too many cowards, there's a lot of selfishness that tends to happen.
Yeah.
So anytime somebody comes out and tries to display some sort of strength or, I don't know, rebellion against all the things that are going wrong. The cowards tend to feel like, yo, man, this guy can't be that courageous. And I feel like I feel like you're a victim of that.
Yeah, and they'll never say it in your face.
They can't.
They'll never say it in your face. They'll say it on Facebook and Twitter because you can't come up to Lumumba's face and say that nonsense. I'm not a star. Somebody lied. I got a chopper in the car.
Lumumba's got choppers in the car. And he's got a very bright red tie on today. I mean, like, it's bloody in the studio today. I swear.
I wish people were here to see this.
I wish you actually were. Because you are the topic of discussion for a lot of young people.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that know you and have worked with you very closely. You just don't know who I am.
Yeah.
Which is still okay because that's how I like to roll. Underground. But I feel like when I got involved with the idea of AC Lumumba, for me it was like, not the guy for me.
Me too.
Not and the
I,
guy for
I
me.
I actually wanted to start off with that because we've talked in a couple.
No, definitely.
And
like,
we said, you know, AC, we got to talk first.
I'm not even big on Pastor E.
I'm not.
I'm not there. But I'll tell you why.
I've got my doubts here and there, but yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Simply because, like I said to you maybe like about 10, 15 minutes ago, it's about understanding the man.
Yeah.
Some things that, or some elements that you're utilizing in order to obviously then extend the message across may not be the types of things that I respond to immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, being a media and stuff, you know, the whole social media idea of pushing a political movement that can free, you know, citizens of Zimbabwe, for me, it's not going to work. But that's just across the board. I'm critical of anyone who does that. I can't go and speak into a camera and make a person who's in, let's say, for instance, here in Bloemfontein, working as a maid, you know, figure out that, you know what, maybe there's hope to go to them. Not going to work. I can send them a funny video. That'll change their day.
Make them laugh.
Yeah, exactly, because that's what they need. But now I want to get an understanding of, after you hear me say something like that, what would you think would be the best way for you to get your message across to the people who are outside of the borders of Zimbabwe, who can actually one day return and join the movements, join the political parties that are coming about, and try and support particular leaders like yourselves who are there on the ground? What strategies have you got in place to then bring people like us on board? You know what I'm saying?
Great. And thank you for asking that because it allows us to deal with a little bit of substance.
Yeah.
First of all, you have to understand that there is no other Zimbabwe that's coming.
Yeah.
This is like the only Zimbabwe. You know, this is it.
There's no rebirth.
There's no boat that's coming and saying we have brought the new Zimbabwe.
No.
So unless you figure out where you fit in, you are always going to feel like an alien in your own country.
True.
Now, here's what I know about both of you. Both of you are ambitious.
Yeah.
Both of you think about your country. Both of you think of how you can ball in your country.
Yeah.
And there is absolutely no reason why you shouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
There is no law that says you guys cannot drive the flyest cars in Zimbabwe.
100%.
Because why are you not allowed allowed to do that. Except the politics doesn't tell us that. Yeah. The politics teaches us to be humble. But why can't you guys drive the Maybachs in Harare? Why not? Why can't politicians drive the Maybachs? I don't get it. Why not?
Yeah.
Every single Zimbabwean should be allowed to dream really big. But the real substantial issues here is, in order for us to get to this place which we call our versions of a good life, my version of a good life might be to get a job.
Yeah.
Your version might be able to take your mother to hospital. Somebody else's version might be to pay school fees.
Yeah.
But whatever your version is, the only way we get there is, number one, we actually have to vote.
Yeah.
We have to register and we have to vote. The numbers are in our favor. The arithmetic is on our side. We are on the right side of history. Secondly, after we vote, we have to push for macroeconomic stability.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you do this? I'm talking about, how do you create jobs? How do you create businesses? The first thing you've got to do is, we have to bring back our own local currency.
Yeah.
I know it's a hard conversation to have, but we've got to do it. Imagine a 36-year-old man, which is how old our country is, being driven into the ICU and they're on their deathbed. The first thing you've got to do, even if they're bleeding from everywhere, is put a pepper-varian injection in their heart so you keep them alive.
Yeah.
So you have to stop spending. You have to renegotiate the debt we have with everybody. We have to come back to a place where we can lead again.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cut down the taxes so that the wealth can be redistributed.
Yeah.
You know, you have to lower interest rates in banks so that people can borrow money and they're able to start businesses.
Yeah.
If you guys come into the country and you want to start a business, you need to be able to go to a bank to access finance without being asked for collateral.
Yeah, of course.
Where is a 25-year-old going to get collateral for $60,000 from? They don't have it. So until you change and you reform the Banking Act or the banking laws and bring in financial inclusion, you're never going to have a 19-year-old kid who's got a bright idea starting a business.
Yeah.
The reason why America does so well and produces more billionaires than anybody is because it's easy to get started.
Yeah.
We ought to make it easy to get started. Now, look, I understand that I don't have all the solutions. That's why I come and I ask people for theirs. All I'm saying is, Viva Zimbabwe has got to provide the platform where you can actually even start having the conversation.
100%.
Because no political party is talking to us.
100%.
No one is talking to us. They're talking to themselves or they're talking at us. They want to have rallies. They don't want to have town hall meetings where they ask guys, how do we reform the media sector?
Even talking about reforming the media sector, how do you pick up the trash on the side of the road?
Exactly.
Let's start there.
There you go. Yeah. So the conversation is not even happening. And all I'm saying is, what I am very good at is grassroots politics.
Yeah.
I know that I'm not a great administrator. I've been there and I've done things I shouldn't have done. That's why I've publicly said I'm not running for public office.
No.
So stop trying to figure out if I'm fit for it. I don't want it.
Yeah, it's as if AC was sort of like, you know, he knew the questions I was going to ask. Because he's rebutting before I even attack.
I see you put your notepad away. You're like,
I'm listening. I really want to listen to the brother.
I'm not running for public office. But what I do appreciate is there is young people out there who are able to run for public office. The problem is they don't know how to do it.
Or they're just petrified.
Exactly. And they don't know how to be an MP or how to be a councillor or how to be a minister or how to be an ambassador. I know how that game is played. So in all I'm asking my peers to say is, can you give me the permission to build the infrastructure that allows you to climb over on top of so you can go in? I want to run a political party, not government.
Yeah.
I have no interest in running government. I just want to run a political party. Now, I know there's trust issues, but come on, you can't microwave trust. You can't say, you know, I've met you today. I like you. So I trust you. You run into all sorts of problems every time you build trust over time. And what we're doing here is the roadmap to getting to that place where we build that trust.
You know, I fell into a very unfortunate mindset.
Yeah.
Which is very, very unfortunate. You know, a major lack on my end, where I said to myself, okay, I have major issues with ZANU-PF. I come from a ZANU-PF family and I've seen all the corruption. I went to Gautama for 6 years and, you know, next thing we've got 10,000 liters of diesel when the rest of the country doesn't have it. And we're like, yay, we go for trips. And, you know, until you leave the institution, that's when you realize, hey, wait, I've been benefiting from this corruption for a long time. I've got major issues. And I think that's when I fell into that mindset where I said to myself, AC Lumumba out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Until I talked to Vimbai. In fact, I watched Vimbai. Vimbai got 10 minutes with Vimbai. And I watched her interview with you. And it wasn't, she didn't go ham on the dude. You know, people tend to not go ham. And because people don't go ham on you, they don't ask you the right questions. You have never spoken like this on any other show. Swear to God.
I don't think so.
He has never, I've never heard him speak like this.
Yeah.
And which is why I've been quiet for so long. Kamu, you know I'm never quiet.
No, but never.
I've been quiet. I've been listening and I'm not saying I'm a believer, but I do think that there is substance and that you actually do have the nation's well-being at heart.
Kissy.
Currently, yes. Yeah. Well, he finally has it. That's after he milked a little bit, and now he's okay.
I'm impressed, AC. I'm impressed.
I was born poor. I'm not talking poor like Trukushaya. Mm-hmm. I'm talking poor like Hatina.
Yeah.
Okay? I was born when airport was still a squatter camp. Yeah. Not even the illegal settlement today. Yeah, my mother was a maid, Kissy. Yeah. I used to go to work with my mother. My first day of school was about like grade four, okay? So I didn't have anything. I had to learn how to survive in the jungle. When I came back after I was a little bit made, the first place I went was Epworth. I started creating jobs in Epworth to people who everybody said we can't give them a chance.
Yeah.
But I realized I could only do so much by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I needed more instruments. I needed more tools. That's why I wanted to get into politics.
Yeah.
Not because I like power. Look, I think money is power.
Yeah.
I'd rather get the money.
Money first, then the power,
absolutely,
then the respect.
And the reason why it was easier for me to get out of ZANU-PF is I didn't go into ZANU-PF broke.
Yeah.
It's hard for everybody to get out because we're not gay.
Mm-hmm.
It was easier for me because I was okay.
You'd already been making your money.
I had been, you know, people make it look like I can't think. You know, I came from an interview today where they're like, oh, but how do you know if you're not an agent of ZANU-PF? I'm like, so you think I can think? You think I can only think if ZANU-PF is thinking for me? Like, I don't have any ideas of my own. My only ideas must come from ZANU-PF. Like, get out of here, man.
And you actually have some very prolific ideas, because there's one issue I've always had with the governmental systems within Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, and there's a major mindset and a shift of policy that you just came up with, and I hope you realized you came up with it, which is a problem we've had with Robert Mugabe, where every year at the Congress they vote him in as the leader of the party. Tsvangirai, my biggest problems with Tsvangirai is that he has refused to abide by the constitution of the MDC itself and say, you know, your term of office has ended, leave the leadership. But you see, what AC has said is that he's the leader of a party, but it does not mean that if there's a presidential election for the country, he would run.
For the record, for me, because still, that doesn't mean anything.
No. I'm saying for me, the policy is awesome because the mindset. Because if you are willing to say, okay, fine, I will lead the party, which is what the Democrats do. You know, they have the Democratic Convention. Mm-hmm. They don't vote for the leader of...
The Democratic chairman is not the president. It's not.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And I think that's awesome, because once you have that amount of power in one person,
it's dangerous.
Then you've got to go on.
There are no
checks and balances.
I'm worried, man.
Like I said, I'm not a believer yet, but I am not a critic.
Of course, definitely.
I will critique, but I'm not a critic anymore.
I agree.
You've won me over. If there was a vote tomorrow, I might vote for a couple of MP seats to Viva.
Well, hell no. First and foremost.
Okay, go ahead.
Before people start declaring who they're going to vote for real soon,
yeah,
I just want to understand this. And I do see how you can be won over, obviously, by the fact that, you know, he does not want to go for public office. Mm-hmm. But in my understanding...
Let me just clarify before you go in.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, he's never been in power. Mm-hmm. So how do we ever actually judge someone before they've actually had a chance?
There's no judgment.
So the only thing we've got to go off of is what they tell us and their manifesto.
Hence we haven't made it.
When you then fail, then we kick you to the curb.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not even against it. Any of the notions. I'm happy that you've actually absorbed it like that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, from history and from understanding, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that what's going to happen is going to be beneficial. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you may not be going for the office, the mandate will still come back from the party, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is where the problem comes. Mm-hmm. Because now the mandate comes from the party, and then at the end of the day, the person who's put there might just be a placeholder.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're afraid of. Mm-hmm. I want to raise things that I know genuinely as Zimbabweans were considering.
No, that is very true.
Yeah, because it's very simple. For me, I mean, when I was a student leadership, it was very simple. They didn't have to make me a president, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even have to, I didn't even have to want to run to be a president. But it was simple. I could put you as a president. Mm-hmm. And I would just...
But you were at the mercy of the people.
100%.
But again,
my worry is... Okay. No, let me finish. But my worry is, see, it's because of the nature of the country. You understand what I'm saying? It would be a great model for me, personally, if we were more stable. Mm-hmm. But right now, we can't even conjure up enough courage, right, to just deal with the simple issues. You know what I'm saying? I'm worried that it's gonna take so long. By the time we even reach a stage whereby I can give confidence to a party that, look, okay, they've managed to put so-and-so in place, and this guy's going to make a change. Mm-hmm. The most vocal person still sits as the leader of the party, but he's not the president.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're so far away from that.
I mean, you know what? And that is a very valid, query.
Yeah.
And let's just take it to one of my questions.
Yeah, go on.
Which is very much in line with Kamu's question. And politically, any political entity, political being, should have multiple voices.
Yeah.
Within the party. You can, of course, you've got that one dude who we look up to and blah. There but everyone go. Should be able to say, Aywa, Chimbo, Mirewe, Diwani, right? Mm-hmm. Which was the first, for example, the first MDC. You know, those BT Changirai, a bunch of very big heads. Unfortunately, the heads got a bit too big, which is why they split. But it's about being able to merge those big heads. You know, three heads are better than one, right?
Better than one, definitely.
So my question was going to be AC, and I think that'll hopefully automatically answer Kamu's question is, what is the membership at this point, more not just the membership as in ordinary people on the street, but the secretariat of Viva like?
Okay. By the way, we haven't launched the political party. We had a press conference to say we are going to launch a political party.
Oh, man.
The party's not even there yet. You see, you garnered so much excitement.
You thought you were up and running.
It's not even just about the excitement he's garnered. It's the problem with the media back home.
Yeah.
We did not study media. Okay, I studied media later, but then, I mean, we're not media experts per se.
Mm-hmm.
But almost every article I have read,
says
the launch of Viva.
That's what we never launched.
All that happened is, remember, I used to chair the Youth Council, which is a body of all the youth organizations in the country.
That's
the
where most of your problems started.
The moment there's more than three people, once we're like this and we're young people, we should be a registered youth association.
100%,
so this includes churches, businesses, civil organizations, etc.
Yeah.
So all youth associations came together.
Yeah.
And they said, we have a political problem. We now need a political front.
Yeah.
What do we do to set up a political front?
Okay.
And we proffered solutions, and the ultimate solution was we need a youth political party, which is going to be Viva Zimbabwe. Lumumba, can you chair it? Because you're the most political among us, and you're the one who can coordinate us the best.
The best,
Can you chair it so that we now have a youth political front? I accepted the responsibility to chair it.
Yeah.
But that responsibility can be dismissed from me any day, and I am okay with
definitely,
that.
Yeah.
When I accepted the responsibility to now lead the process of setting up a youth political party, we mentioned we will be in September, we intend to launch. But between then and September, we wanted to organize our structures.
All right.
Now, the question of who is in the secretariat. The secretary general is a guy called Agency Gumbo, who used to be a youth leader in MDC Changirai. Okay. He deflected and he came to join Viva Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
The political commissar is a guy called Nelson Kamwe, who used to be a youth leader within People First.
Mm-hmm.
He deflected to come to Viva Zimbabwe.
Okay.
We also have some young people who've left ZANU-PF, some who've never been involved in politics before. But those who are politically aware and are ready to occupy that space, they've now come to Viva Zimbabwe, and we're crafting the way forward before we have gone to the launch.
Yeah.
When we launch, then we are... I don't believe you should... Where I have... You know, you spoke about the problems you have with MDC. Where I have a problem with all of the parties is, how do you launch a party and you already have a president?
Mm-hmm.
Abba Kupi.
That's my point.
Do you launch a party and you already have a manifesto?
Exactly.
Where wana kupi? The manifesto must only come as a result of when you go to a congress.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And TSSM are youth to sangana.
And
we agree.
Exactly.
Once we've agreed on what we want to achieve, then we say, who is the best team to deal with this? Inenge team ye bora.
Yeah.
When you say you're dealing with the Manchester United, the team you field versus the team when you're dealing with the Burnley are two very different teams.
100%.
So we have to say, so who do we need per striker? Do we need 12 strikers on the ground, or do we need 12 defenders?
Yeah.
Depending on who you're playing. But you only do that when you get to a congress. This is not the political attitude that you need when you're designing these things, which I have and some young people don't.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to put the framework in place. But I want you guys to stay away from something that I keep hearing you say, which is, so how are you guys going to do this? How are you guys going to... There is not you guys, it's us. There's no other young people in Zimbabwe except those of us who are in this room and those of us who are like those of us in this room.
Yeah.
We are the ones who actually have to figure it out. You can't expect me to give you a solution on how to rebrand the media sector in Zimbabwe. I don't know. I actually have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So the more you expect me to come up with that answer, you're going to be disappointed.
I'm
going to
correct you. The
I
AC,
expect
you.
We never do that on this show.
No,
we never say to people, what are you going to do?
You've been having too many bad interviews, my
buddy. And that's why we were so excited, because they asked the wrong questions. I'm not going to ask AC what he's going to do.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to ask AC what he wants to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I want to just understand your style of political leadership.
Exactly.
The ultimate job of a leader, to me, the way I interpret my job is to be able to figure out how to accept other people's ideas.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate job of a leader. I am in this position to be able to manage when Kisiwe comes with his ideas. Where do I fit? How do they fit in?
Yeah.
When Matthew comes with ideas, how do I fit them in? When Maria comes with ideas, how do I fit them in?
Yeah.
That's the job of a leader. Not to give people your ideas, but to figure out how do you accommodate theirs.
Exactly.
So what I actually hope for is that young Zimbabweans are going to realize, I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And my idea is I can contribute this way. My idea is the country should look like this, because this is the only country we have. This is the address.
That's the end.
Address, address 0, address 263.
No matter where you go.
And you can't run away from your address.
Yeah. No.
Now, I always give this analogy. Imagine you guys, like, you guys are abroad in the diaspora. When you get a phone call and you hear, your mother's on her deathbed and she is dying.
Yeah.
And you are in the diaspora. Do you now say, or do you say, I'm going to leave everything I'm doing, I'm going to come and be by her bedside, and whatever I can do, I am going to be right there to make sure mama survives.
Yeah.
This is our mother, guys. And right now, our mother is going. She is dying, and nobody's ready to save her. And I'm saying, guys, my big brothers, I'm looking to my big brothers like, guys, is anybody going to come and help?
Nope.
Because we're here trying to help mama. But you guys are making a little bit of money. If you're not going to come and be with mama, can you at least send some money for her to get some medication?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you at least send some money for us to buy her some fruits?
Yeah.
Can we give her the chance to leave? Can we give Zimbabwe the chance to leave? And all of us have got to play our part, especially the biggest shareholder in the country, which is the young people.
100%. I think that makes a lot of sense. And the unfortunate part about it is that, you see, to answer your question realistically, just from what I feel from the diaspora vibes is that, mama, I don't go far. That's what I'm feeling, because I'll be perfectly honest with you. You know, the way people are so detached with what is happening in Zim, and the way you would look at it because you're there on a daily basis, you understand, and you're fighting a particular cause on the ground. It's different for people who are out here. I will just start with people in South Africa. One, it's very rare for us to be able to congregate as South African, as a Zimbabweans in the diaspora. Yeah, Zimbabwean immigrants here, you know, young ones, to come and speak about politics. Zani, about what? About reviving a country that clearly you cannot release from the hands of people who don't release it. What a great government is. That's exactly the mentality of people. We've got things that we're doing here that are taking us to the next level internationally. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Now imagine you have to take 10 steps back. You have to make that sacrifice to go back, try and assist, help, and fix a situation in which even your level of influence is not strong enough, because you can't get the numbers. Not even as an individual. You can't get enough numbers to help you push that influence. It's a problem. So it makes things very, very difficult. Imagine you reach a stage whereby, like now, you're on Cliff Central. Now you're going to move into a space of television. Now you move to a space of Hollywood. Are you telling me somebody's coming back from Hollywood to come and help?
And you have to give all that up?
Nobody's willing to give all that up. And it's not because the people are selfish. And I'm not even going to speak about the cowardice as well. It's because people are tired. And realistically, imagine being tired at our age.
And that's why I keep, and that's why I keep saying to people, when you become passionate enough about anything, it becomes political. When you become passionate enough about education, it becomes a political
100%,
issue. About the diaspora, it becomes a political
issue.
Because
politics is ambiguous. It affects everything in our society.
So ultimately, the problem comes down to, we have got to fix the politics. But there's actually nobody else who can fix the politics
but us.
Except us.
And you know, another problem, just to go back to the the points that you guys are raising, is people, Zimbabweans are very skeptical. Extremely skeptical and cynical individuals.
Yeah.
So I was talking to a good friend of mine, Tendai, and I was telling her, yo, I'm going to be interviewing AC today.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go hard on this dude. Like, he has no idea. He's going to be like, yo, fam, but we've been to, you know, we've known each other for a minute. And, but you see, for them, they assume that I'm doing this to get ratings. What I am saying basically is, as Zimbabweans, one of the biggest things that we need to change is have our leaders become accountable. I'm not, you know, asking these questions to put AC down. I'm asking them so that he can answer them for me, so that I know exactly what the direction is.
I can put myself up.
Exactly. Because the minute we draw back and we're like, ah, no, we're still killing our country.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And then we don't understand. And some people do criticize in order to, you know, pull someone down.
Yeah.
That's why I said I'm not a critic. I'm critiquing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we don't get that. And there's a lack of unity. Because what AC is going to take back, I'm hoping what AC is going to take back from this interview is like, oh, wait, those brothers brought this up. Mm-hmm. You know, let's go checklist. Mm-hmm. You know
and
what
that's
mean?
The
those
idea.
Those brothers brought this up. Hey, wait, we had planned on doing this, mm-hmm. but let's change this. And especially as the media, that's our role. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can bring Barack here right now, but like, hey, Barack, don't be coming to Kenya and talking about gay rights when people mm-hmm. are still hungry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'll critique everyone mm-hmm. who's on a platform because we need checks and balances.
Yeah.
And politics in the 21st century is all about checks and balances.
You also have to, you know, you have to believe in your gift.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I worry about young people in our generation is we don't trust our talents.
Not at all.
We don't believe we're actually good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't believe in your gift, okay, believe in God. You know, Moses' most toughest job was convincing the Israelites that he was one of them. Because when he came to them, they said, no, you are in the palace.
Yeah, exactly.
You cannot save us. And Moses is like, these niggas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I am the only person who can save them.
Right
they
now.
They want to judge me based on where
of
I grew
course.
Up.
You know what I mean?
Just understand, I have got the answers. I want to get you out. So I feel that's what I'm going through.
Yeah.
That's the purging I'm going through where only God can make this work for me. You know, I think God has got such a sense of humor because he had to choose me to make me do this.
Yeah.
Why did I have to join Zanu PF?
Yeah.
Why couldn't he just take me from the hood and put me all the way back straight to FIFA? Okay,
yeah, that's it.
Because
yeah.
now he made me go through Zanu PF and now I'm paying for crimes that are not mine. Mosha, Zakasukwere, this is in the Zalumumba. If Kasukwere did it, you were there, so you're also part of it. If Mugabe did it, you're also there.
Yeah.
So I just wish we trusted in ourselves enough to know that if you're not a politician, let us politicians do it. But Kwauri Kokoka, we need you to be good at this, guys. Mm. Like, our country needs you guys to be good at what you're doing right now.
Yeah,
we really need you to be good at it.
Yeah.
Because only when you're good at it can you come back and do it at home, but only then can we lead again.
That's true.
Zimbabweans must lead.
AC, what do you think about NERA, the National Election Reform Agenda? Is Viva going to be a part of this?
We got a phone call on Monday yesterday from both the leading political parties, MDC and People First, and they've asked us to come and be the youth party. They've asked us to come and run with the campaign on media reforms while the MDC runs with electoral reform and PF runs with security sector reforms.
Mm-hmm.
I've sent and assigned my Secretary General to go and manage the conversations. I won't be there when the march happens because I'll be here and I still need to take care of this business.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they only want principals represented. So it might look like we're not represented when it happens, but
They
have reached out and we are represented.
Mm-hmm.
But my thought is, It's the correct initiative. We do have to reform the way elections are carried out in Zimbabwe.
Before going to 2018,
we absolutely have to reform them. But it's not going to stop or change the fact that we're going to elections.
Yeah.
What we need to do more than election reform is we need to make sure that we are ready to actually vote. We're even interested in voting. Game resere politics in Zimbabwe. Game re madara uda chunu. So what madara zwa Because remember, the principals here are people who have tasted the power of the executive power.
Changirai
built a $3 million house because of politics. Huh?
Yeah.
Maimujuru built a whole life because of politics.
Yeah.
She has never had a job in her life. Think about this.
Yeah.
Maimujuru has never been employed.
Yeah.
She's only ever eaten money from government.
Yeah.
She's only ever eaten taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
Changirai, you know, used to be employed, but then his greatest benefit came from
political
government.
Yeah.
So So pressure yachoka iri so isu kwatire ndizo ndakana pressure whether you reform it or you don't reform it chatongozanjo the numbers are actually ours. The numbers are the young people.
But then do you think people are going to go out, because I want to get into some very critical issues.
Yeah.
For example, you know, we see a lot of police brutality that's been going on and we're not even anywhere near elections. We're still 2 years away. What is your stance on human rights abuses and violations within the country, especially coming from executive orders within the security sector?
Look, I think some of these things you call them upon yourselves.
Yeah.
If you go outside Central Police and you know vanhu vakunovaziya, I mean, best believe they are going to show you that they are just as confident as you are.
Yeah.
So they'll brutalize you. And this is what I have against the protesters. I love the protesters. Most of them are relatives even. But my argument to them is, guys, maybe you're okay to get yourself beaten up. But the other people who you are dragging along,
don't get beaten
when
up,
they get beaten up, who is going to pay the medical bill? When you, maybe you're okay, you like getting arrested, but everyone also gets arrested with you. When I got arrested, I was in prison, and I was there with, you know, the day, the first shutdown when it happened, there were 84 kids from Epworth who were arrested because Pastor E said, let's go and have a shutdown. Mm-hmm. Pastor E never came to see them. Pastor E never paid their bail money. Mm-hmm. Pastor E had 200 lawyers who simply went to court because they wanted selfies. They don't care about justice. Yeah. Because justice means you should have gone for all the other kids who were still arrested. Yeah. But nobody spoke about them. Everyone was worried about...
We did on the show, though. We were talking about how a lot of people were let down. And there doesn't seem to be... We had an edition called Tajamuka. We had the Tajamuka boys. We call it the Solidarity Edition. There are people like Linda.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. All these people were there. Linda's been protesting for a minute. Yeah. And she's had no support.
But because she's not cool, you know... This flag is cool. So here, for me, is where I have an issue with this protest. Even with Zananera,
So what strategy would you then use
for
the current agenda, which is electoral reform? And I think with Tajamuka is to just for him to step down. Because Tajamuka just wants Bob to step down.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me, the strategy as far as electoral reform is simple. ZANU-PF can rig. Okay, let's get that clear. Everybody rigs. But they can rig a 30% election to become 45%.
They cannot rig a 75% election, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You can't rig a 5% to say, now I'm 50%.
No.
I rig you game data. Because even if you are rigging, I don't know.
How do I make sense of it? Yeah.
I don't sense. But they are able to get away with it because we're not even... chances are, of every 10 young people, less than one is registered to vote. So unless you actually toe the line and you simply go and vote, apana munhu akamboro wakunza enda kunomira muqueue yekuvota vanhu vanorowa before vaenda kunovota. So if you just did the simple things, as you rwadze kuenda pa market square muHarare ungondauya uzoregister kuvota, they can't stop you from registering because they don't know who you want to vote for. It's like
even carry a ZANU-PF card with you, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
When you register, it doesn't mean you're gonna vote for ZANU-PF.
Exactly.
You see, this is what I wanted to hear. You see, now what you're telling me now and what we're discussing now is exactly what's going to save the country.
Yeah.
If we come with numerous stratagems that's going to then now allow ourselves to stay away from the violence, right? To stay away from all the abusive tactics that ZANU-PF can use against people who want to take them out of power, then we're going to find ourselves somewhere.
Yeah.
You need to now start, you know, simple political education is what people need.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of you know about Ned and Water, no one really cares. Mm-hmm. No one gives a damn about that. People have got families that need to eat, and that's the most important thing at this stage. So my own personal advice to anybody who wants to contest power in Zimbabwe currently, you need to bring back that feel-good factor in the country before that.
Yeah.
And the only way you can do that is by applying different methods. You understand what I'm saying? Don't come in as a politician, essentially. You can be recognized as one, and you can have your structure, no problem. But your structure needs to start representing the good time factor of what Zimbabweans are missing, because that's what we're missing the most. If you honestly look at it, we're missing the good time factor.
Yeah.
The one thing that was pushing people to come back home 3-4 times a year, and did it again, was the fact that good times were good time people. And it wasn't good time based on just whatever.
It's valid, man.
Yeah, but it was really because when you get home, when you just walk out of HIA, the immediate good time from the first guy at the cab, I know it's like, you know, it's like, I'm him now. You know, it's different. It doesn't have that Joburg pressure, it doesn't have London pressure, it doesn't have New York pressure, it doesn't have Paris pressure.
Yeah.
All the other places that we're running away to, there's nothing that we're coming here to find except to just help ourselves financially. We're not finding no good times here because the next guy to speak Zulu. The other one speaks Xhosa.
Yeah.
And the other one is Musutu. Then the other guy is from Nigeria. And the other one is Congolese, which I have nothing, I have no problem with that. But my issue is that me and this man could do the same thing we're doing and own this back home and make it big, make it huge.
And have fun doing it.
And have the
and
good
enjoy
and enjoy. You see?
And but, as you can see, our studio's just been renovated.
Yeah, you see?
Hashtag.
We're pimping. we're doing well. So the most important thing is, like, I want to say to you, every time you get back on that screen or you get back behind a camera and you want to convey a message, remind us of the good times. Yeah. We already know what the problems are. Yeah. Trust me. Tainos score.
I like that.
Degrees upon degrees. We know who did this. We know who did. You know, it's information for us is something that comes immediately. Like Zimbos always want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So from Peru all the way to Italy, people, I don't know if I saw it all right. Let's not keep attacking Okay, fine. These are the people who are chastising us. So these are the people who are putting us under duress to do this and this and that. Move away from it. Yeah. Remind us of the good things that you can do when you come to Zim and enjoy yourself. Because the good time factor is the one thing that always wants makes you feel when you're in the diaspora. Okay, I'm working my ass off, but there's a Pinot America and I see South Africa and I'm at Jordan.
Don't take it out of my bottle. You know? Black level.
Yeah, because even now we don't have that. You see, that's why we find it hard to go, okay, fine. So how do we relate with these people who want to lead us? You know?
Yeah.
We've got people like AC who immediately when you pop up, you don't immediately seem to be the person that we now know you are, you know? Because obviously this has been very enlightening,
very enlightening, true.
But now, you wouldn't know that if I'm seeing you on Facebook. Because the things that I see on Facebook are not necessarily, you know, are not necessarily like aligned with anything that makes any sense. But I'm happy because at least you're trying to get yourself out there and get people to understand the message. My main thing really is just bring back the good time factor and understand that some of the things that we need to change don't necessarily have to do with you know, the documentation and the admin. It's the feeling. Give Zimbabweans the feeling that they can still have a good time trying to make a change. You know what I'm saying?
I like that, man.
A good time trying to make a change. Changing the environment, as bad as it may be at this particular moment, right? Changing it for themselves to just feel good again. That's all.
Word. True that. Yeah. You know, AC, we need to do another interview.
No, we need a part two. Because the part two, we're not talking politics. Now we want to know the real AC. We want to talk about the type of women you like.
Yeah, man.
Like them thick. The other one was kind of slim, though. The titties were dope. I mess with her, though. She's the one. But anyhow, you know.
I don't know what this man is.
I really
want your video, man.
I wanted to, you know, get into when I brought up the human rights situation. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
I wanted to get into what is in our brothers and sisters' minds within the security services. And I wanted to hear how ZANU-PF does it. What are they thinking when they're beating up so many people who are fighting for their rights as well? Because they ain't being paid. But we'll get into that some other time.
I probably would beat up some people myself. It's my job.
When you broke, they weren't even paid. You know, at least pay me if I'm going to beat them up. But I see, I think this was very enlightening.
Thank you.
You're a person I've known for quite a minute, but we haven't spoken in quite a minute.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the things that you, most of the things that you said have shown a lot of, you know, political acumen.
No, there's a high level of political acumen. That has nothing to do with the degree. This man has been on the ground. He knows what's going on.
And a lot of passion. It seems like, you know the way forward. The administration is kind of set. I hope you keep it up.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? I hope you keep it up. I hope there's an actual change. We've never been represented as the youth in the country. And even if we are represented as the youth, there's always youth in front. Youth council.
Yeah.
Youth this. Can we just call us, you know, like a
can
council?
Can we just be
Zimbabweans? Yeah. Exactly. You know, that's you know all. Zimbabweans are the brand. To move forward.
Because the minute you put me as a sort of category in a party and put youth, you're already labeling me as, you know, you're not at the top. Why don't we call it the old council and the youth council? We just call that what, you know, the Politburo. You know what I mean? Which is something that we need to change, that I hope Viva is going to change.
Yeah.
Get people talking. You have had people talking.
Yeah.
Awesome. Closing words. Two questions. Firstly, why do people dislike you so much? And secondly, what do you think, you know, our fellow brothers and sisters within the diaspora can do to assist what you guys are trying to achieve as Viva?
Thank
How do we become a part of it?
Yeah. First, I just want to say, look, you guys have also taught me something today.
Yeah.
And I really love what you spoke about, the feel-good factor.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we get so bugged down with the harshness of politics, we forget to realize people want to feel good.
Yeah. That's
all. You know, I've always said my purpose in life is to help create a space where
we can hope.
All of
dream.
Us can chase after our version of the good life.
100%.
You know, it's just that my version of a good life is such a serious one, I forget that other people...
it's actually not that serious, yeah.
but I just want to say thank you, guys. And I want to encourage you that what you guys are doing here is so important.
Thanks, man.
Because if you are not doing this, there is no platforms for the voices to go out or for the voices to come in.
100%.
You are so crucial to what is happening in our time today, and you have to continue doing this. So your question, your two questions, what do I have to say about people who don't like me? You know, just because I'm magic doesn't mean I'm not real.
Oh!
The punchline king.
Shots fired.
You need to do a song, man.
Yeah, man.
And you know, where I came from, you know, they used to hate on us. I mean, because we're fly boys. I mean, look, I wear custom made suits. I wear custom made shirts. I've got my name tattooed on my shirt.
I saw you in the Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren, you know, I get Ralph Lauren measuring me up. And sometimes people don't like it because it's, you know, it's like looking into the mirror and realizing this boy had less to work with than I did, and he did more with it. So yeah. It must be juju.
Yeah, you know,
it must be a hookup. Yeah. No, sweetie, it's not a hookup. Yeah. Just because we're magic, it doesn't mean we're not real.
Yeah.
But what should everyone in the diaspora be doing? This country is ours, guys.
Yeah.
You know, in Deyanguone Nyon Lumumba, Ndeyakuwewe Kwauri, you just have to realize that where we are right now, it's a painful growth place where we are. But in order for us to cross over the bridge, we have to learn how to hold each other's hands.
Yeah.
And while I understand the diaspora want to vote, the diaspora want to come home, right now is actually not the best time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What the diaspora needs to be doing right now is understand there are people who are on the ground fighting, your Patsons, your Zorwadzas, your Lindas, even Pastor Ivacho.
Mm-hmm.
Can we utilize all our accesses to build a war chest?
Yeah.
Because you don't beat ZANU-PF part-time.
No.
We need to know with Stena Garo Agenda which Patara. I demonstrated out in Pokunga Abude Mu Tera. How are we going to pay
fees.
That bill? That money is so necessary. And I know the conversation of money is a hard conversation.
Especially
to have.
With Zimbos, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really hard conversation to have. But until you guys are ready to put some money for the warriors on the ground, this is not gonna happen. And no one else is at stake except us. At least me Magayambuka, you've got somewhere else called Yambukira. So you guys have got to start channeling your resources towards the watches. We can beat them without the diaspora vote. In fact, without the diaspora,
I know we're cutting off AC, but I mean, you know, one thing I'm very fearful of that I've seen that might come through is the, I'll call it a civil war, but not, you know, more like a metaphor.
Yeah.
To say there's going to be an issue between people who fought the struggle on the ground and people who fought whilst in the diaspora.
Yeah.
I feel like if we move to that, you know, moment of change, when people try to come back and try to get into certain positions where they're qualified to get into, people are going to be like, "Ay, waka," but imi, the typical ZANU-PF character. Yeah.
But that's where that education I was talking about comes from.
I'm fearful of that.
Absolutely, and that's going to happen. That's why I'm saying while you're in the diaspora, contribute your part. Like what you guys are doing right now. The struggle can't say you guys were not there.
Yeah.
You'd be like, when Lumumba came out of Zimbabwe with that 1 week he had, he came here.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, Lumumba, check yourself.
And Gareth was like, let me get a photo.
Exactly.
Gareth is the one who's like, I gotta get a photo.
Definitely.
You'd be like, Lumumba, check yourself. Pastor E, check yourself. What do you mean you struggled without us? Mm. Because you guys are actually playing your part.
Yeah.
So you might not be contributing $20 to the country, but you've just given me something way more valuable than $20.
That's true.
And that's what everybody has got to do. But we know we can't congratulate everybody when the struggle is done. When the struggle is done, kuna anonzi mawoveti mawoveti acho ndima namugabe mugaba akarwa hondo ipiko mugaba anakana kuti anozi yakubata but mugaba angarunze kwenyika chitora nevarungu chichi achimanage maveti achitora chirungu chakanaka ama did must mtasa wala na mai mjurongo pa ground vakabata pfuti. In the end mugabe ran the country terribly ran the country, but he ran the country nevertheless.
Yeah.
And this is what we need to understand. Kuti kwa mpamuri baba guys, kapaka kosha.
You can do something.
Shandai, pachune, kushikapaka kunakiza.
Yeah. I just think everyone wants to see change. Fantastic show, man.
Wow, man.
Full of full-blooded emotions. We've been excited, man.
There needs to be a part two to this, man.
No, there definitely will be a part two. It has to be by popular demand. So you guys know what you have to do. You have to go to deposit money first in my account. I need to send to people who are fighting. Shout out to AC for coming through, man. Shout out to Viva, you know. And we'll be excited to see the growth of the party. I'm sure we'll definitely see you very, very soon. We will make a plan to see you very, very soon again. Yeah.
I think one thing you need to look into is also creating a platform for people to contribute the money, because there's no platform. I mean, you guys can look into that back home. Holler at us if you need any assistance, you know, with getting the word out, whether it's on air or whatever, you know what I mean? AC, I've said enough. I've given you two props. No, continue, bro. Continue with the
struggle. Do your thing, man.
We appreciate it. Our parents are back home. Our sisters, we got family back home, and you know, it's good to know that there are people on the ground who actually care about you.
Yeah,
know,
who wanna move forward and who wanna see change.
Yeah,
you know? That's very important.
As usual, you know, we gotta bounce. This is, you know, Zim Conversations.
Once again,
Kamu Piri, aka Big Daddy Black, aka Big Daddy K, your boy KF. We call ourselves the Immigrants. Look for us Facebook, Twitter, L Immigrants,
and we'll see you next time.
100 AC Lumumba is out.
Right. Lumumba, Lumumba, Lumumba.
Peace.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.